Okay, so hi everybody and welcome again to the Universe podcast, in which we welcome today Mr. Andrew Salter, whom I described to myself in what might be laughably called rehearsals as off-spinner, batsman and gun fielder. Now then, Salts, Mr. Salter, welcome firstly. Great to see you. You okay with that? How would you describe yourself in a nutshell or a long nutshell, whichever way?
Yeah, well, firstly, thanks for having me, Rick. Always a pleasure to talk to yourself.
Thank you.
Yeah, with that one, it's quite an interesting one. The whole spin bowler batsman combination sometimes is 50-50, sometimes it sort of sways one way or the other. And that's sort of through the last couple of seasons, working with various coaches, how I sort of fit in a team dynamic, how I fit in a lineup. And I've sort of tried to keep myself as flexible as possible to try and, you know, do whatever role is required.
Sure.
But in terms of all, you know, I think as being a spin bowler, there are three major things I think I've tried to really work on, and fielding, bowling and being able to hold my own with a bat. You know, it's just, I see it as sort of the all-round package. So fingers crossed I can sort of, you know, declare myself as an all-rounder. I think that's, you know,
I'm happy with that, mate. I think most of us are. No, I think you genuinely are. I'm not just blowing the proverbial smoke or whatever. No, of course you are. Of course you are. But listen, both of us are, in our different ways, in a similar situation in terms of work. Both of us are cricket people professionally, me not playing, sadly. But we are both furloughed, yes. And so, for one or two reasons, I kind of want to talk mainly probably about life outside cricket, because A, can be very, very interesting. B, we're probably not supposed to do too much cricket-specific stuff, okay? So, the lockdown thing, and clearly this is both a serious subject and not. How is life under lockdown? What's it all about? Are you good with this stuff? What's the daily routine about? Tell me loads about all that, mate, if you would.
Yeah, no, they're great questions. I suppose for all of us, it's just something so new, isn't it? You know, you just cannot foresee any of this sort of happening. And it was just sort of before we were meant to be going away for our pre-season trip to Spain. You know, it all sort of developed. So it's at the time of the pre-season. You've got through the fitness stuff. You've done your skills training. You're actually in a pretty confident space to then transfer that out to the middle and see how it goes.
Yeah, of course.
And then there's that sense of excitement about the summer to come, because you feel in a better place than you may have been the year before, the season before. So quite naturally, you're looking forward to having being optimistic about having a successful season. So it's sort of, you know, there's not a good time for a global pandemic, don't get me wrong, but it just seems to be, you know, just at that, you know, stage before the season. So quite tricky, but I've been quite busy. Within the Glamorgan setup, I'm the PCA representative alongside Rory Smith for ourselves. So the big sort of conversations within, you know, as you'd be aware of, within the county structure, the international structure, all sorts. And very much my role to sort of relay messages to the boys, get their input, be on discussions with representatives from all the counties. So there's quite a busy period for a couple of weeks, just, I think, players understanding what this might look like for them.
Sure. I'm interrupting, bad form, but no, let's bring it back to the home thing, yeah? For one or two reasons. Are you good at this lounging about? Clearly you're not entirely lounging about, do you know what I mean? But are you finding it tough? Are you, like most of us, in a position where maybe you've got family you're worried about, or, you know, how is that kind of personal stuff feeling?
Yeah, so I think being relatively fortunate in by being busy, I'd probably be a bit distracted with it. When I say busy, obviously I talked a little bit about the cricket side of things. So my parents are nestled down on the Pembrokeshire coast, like yourself, Rick, so I think...
Good call.
I talk to them every day and just catch up with them, because it's, as you said, it's a tricky time for everyone. And, you know, my parents sort of being on the older side of things and being more in the vulnerable category. Just wanted to, you know, touch base. So me and my brother sort of have a daily call with them. And most of the time, you know, they're just saying how beautiful it's looking down back home and how their walks. And I think in that sense, you know, they're probably, this lockdown for them has probably provided a little bit of a healthy lifestyle for them. They're, I think they're, you know, eating pretty well, they're exercising, they're getting some nice weather down there. So.
Yeah, no, it's absolutely sensational. So, yeah, we've got very little, as you do know, to complain about being in sunny Pembrokeshire. But okay, thank you for that. But okay, home routine, if there is one, I'm kind of interested in how much of that is dictated by your role as a professional athlete, how much you do independently, how much DIY you're doing because you need to fill the day. Or, you know what? You know, tell us about it. What's really going on?
Yeah. So before, you know, we were furloughed. I'm sure that's the term now. Before we were furloughed as players, you know, there was that preparation beforehand from the strength and conditioning coach, from the club, and just a little bit of advice and guidance around this time and how, you know, when and if the season turns up, we'll be in the best place to sort of get our feedback on the ground with that. So. Yeah, so fitness-wise, it's going to be different for fast bowlers, for batsmen, for spin bowlers, or like myself, Rick, all-rounder.
Absolutely. We'll get that one in several times, yeah. No, go on.
So as a spin bowler, it's slightly different. I think fast bowlers, you know, they have a lot of impact going through their legs, through their knees, etc. So they're probably going to have to keep a relatively regular impact training, be it sprints, outdoors, be it, you know, that type of run-up scenario. So fast bowlers will have that style of training. I think for myself, it's just been maintaining the fitness that I've done for the winter. So I can vary my training a little bit between doing some long distance runs, some shorter runs. So
and again, how much of that is actually prescribed, if you like? How much are Glammy in touch? How much are you doing team sessions, you know, where, like, quite a few of the regional teams, for example, junior teams or whatever, are doing either on Zoom or similar, you know, a community or a team effort, partly for bonding, isn't it? Clearly, as much as the individual need.
Yeah, there's obviously that slightly grey area with furlough and it being work, so there's no communication with the club during this time in terms of.
Okay.
Because that's what training would be for us.
Yeah, of course. Fair enough.
There's no, as you said, communication with that. But before this agreement happened, you know, we were set, you know, plenty of information around how to fill our time to make sure, you know,
sure,
we were fighting fit. Little random things that, yeah, I bought myself a pull-up bar to crack on. So
good man.
Some of my mates are quite into their sort of CrossFit and different bits of training, so I've jumped on the odd video call with them rather than the cricket lads. It's been more my mates. And yesterday I was in the driveway doing burpees and squats and all sorts. So
good work.
Yeah. So it's, as you said, it's all a little bit random at the moment. As you said, there's plenty of time to do training, so that's been relatively easy to tick over. I think I'm probably getting to the stage now where I'm going to have to look at doing a little bit more skill-based home activities. I haven't really done too much in terms of bowling or, you know, looking at my action, looking at my range of movement, making sure that's all, you know, not getting too dusty. So
sure.
I'm probably going to look into doing some various stuff I can do at home in terms of that, even if it is. So, you know, I've got a couple of cricket balls and stuff, and if I can sort of bowl at some targets or just replicate that motion. And there's so many basics and drills that I do that actually don't require, you know, a pitch length to do.
Right.
If it's alignment drills, if it's, you know, sort of seam positioning, looking at wrist work-ons. So there is quite a lot of stuff I can do which doesn't require, you know, finding that rhythm, finding that length, because that's sort of more towards the end of the lot. So I might just use this time now to go a bit more skill-based, cut down some of these, break down the skills, especially with bowling, to crack on with that. Batting-wise, I think, you know, the work you do in the winter, it's such an instinctive thing you'll have work-ons, but, you know, I'm not fortunate to to have a particularly flat garden or...
Yeah, ditto. Mine falls into a strip. That's my excuse for not breaking into Glammy 2s this year. My garden is on the 1 in 3 and there's a stream at the bottom. Otherwise, I'd be in there. I'd be, you know, in with a shout. No, I'm joking. I'm joking, obviously.
If I start missing straight ones when and if the season comes, at least I can blame it on the slope of my garden.
Sure.
It's a little bit like Lourdes back there.
Right. Okay. Thank you for that. So, yeah, can we just reel back into... I mean, the general stuff about, yeah, how it feels, how do we cope, something that's a big subject, quite rightly, in cricket, and that maybe, arguably, cricket as a mob feels like it tries to deal with reasonably well, is mental health. You know, there's a fairly good awareness of that, it feels to me, as an outsider in the professional game. Any thoughts on that? Do you think... cricket is in a reasonably good place, or what is in place, in your experience, to assist with that?
Yeah, I think, like, I can only talk personally about it because it's hard to sort of talk about other people's well-being and how they feel, but from a PCA point of view and being a representative, the PCA do a really, really good job within looking after players' mental health. They prioritise it. When we have our meetings and they show the figures of where their expenditure goes, there's a lot that goes towards various seminars, various workshops, and then a confidential helpline.
Yeah, okay.
So we've got a personal development manager at the club who will sort of talk all things from, you know, career aspect, but then that sort of lends itself to a mental well-being side of things where you're not too much putting too much pressure and stress on yourself as a professional sportsman. So, yeah, the PCA are leading the way in terms of that. And as a player, it's nice to know.
Yeah, sure. As an outsider, it kind of feels, and none of us want to be smug about any of this stuff, but it does feel as though cricket, it's doing a pretty good job, you know, and maybe got in there early in a way, perhaps with one or two high-profile individuals who kind of came out, in inverted commas, as people who struggled with depression or whatever. But, okay, thank you for that. Okay, total swerve, because, as I mentioned before we came live on air, baffle culture, this thing that you were also doing, I want the universe, please, needs to know about motorbikes, why, where, how, and maybe particularly this thing about the baffle. Yeah, tell us, please, what is baffle culture? Where is that going and why, if you would?
Yeah, I sort of purposely didn't want to bring it up too early because you said that there is quite a lot behind it and it's very easy for me to get distracted in this conversation and just to go on.
No, go, but we've got time. I am a known rambler, honestly, so just tell us. Come on, it'd be great to learn something about it.
It fits in quite nicely with what you're talking about, what I'm doing, mental health, well-being. If I rewind 4 years ago, living with some of the lads I met in uni, so it's probably a year or two after university, and one of my close friends and I decided to learn to ride a motorbike. I was watching David Beckham on TV. It was called Into the Unknown. He went down to South America with his mates on these custom Triumph Bonnevilles, and I just thought, this bloke looks unbelievably cool.
Okay.
And he's with his mates having a great time. He's in the documentary, he sort of spoke a little bit about it. For him, it's a distraction, it's a release, blah, blah, blah. But I think where I was in my career at the same time, I was just, enjoying cricket, and I wouldn't say I needed a distraction or any form of escapism or anything like that.
No, okay.
So it happened just sort of quite authentically, and just sort of, me and my mate just learned to ride, we really enjoyed it, and it's just a bit of an infectious culture. We met some people locally, and then I started an Instagram account where I started posting pictures of bikes, of leather jackets. It was quite an old school retro theme to the culture I quite liked. Looking back on those values that have been there for years, probably modifying bikes, going to your local cafe, sunglasses, open face helmet.
Great. Yeah. No, I describe myself as a motorbike virgin, kind of, and I am, but I get this stuff, and I think it's fabulous, fascinating, and clearly quite a lot of it is for want of a better word, kind of cultural. You like the gear and the style points around it, as well as, you know, the bikes themselves. But tell us, because there will be people out there, what kind of bike have you got, or have you got 12 bikes in the back of the garage? And also, if you're allowed to do it, please, come on, how fast do you go, or have you been on motorbikes? Because we've both got friends, I've no doubt, who go and or have gone scarily quick. Spill the beans, mate, come on.
Yeah, it's grown from, you know, that online presence and through local people 4 years later, you know, today, and I might just plug it in, you know, we've launched our website. We're selling some merchandise. We've got a renovated garage towards Abergavenny, which is just a bit of a hangout space. We've got bikes on racks. We've got sofas.
I'm going to interrupt you briefly because it feels important. I knew some of that stuff, but certainly friends out there in the universe, I did not know that I was offering a plug here of that magnitude. It's great. It's great to hear. I didn't know you got a website going up now, but go on, please. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's hard to describe in a short period of time, but it's, you know, it's building quite nicely. It's all just, you know, the underlying thing is just the fact that we've loved this culture. So to answer some of your questions, where it is now, it's quite exciting. I did a long weekend to France in I think sort of come February, March, and me and my mate Tess rode a new Indian motorcycle for a couple of days, and it's, you know, we're building a bit of a YouTube channel. So it's just outside of cricket, I've got, you know, that this battle culture venture sort of build up quite nicely, and for me it's been a nice way to sort of get away from the game, because with cricket you're going to have more bad days than you're going to have good, and being able to just have a bit of a distraction and have a whole different group of mates, a different world, potentially work, you know, it's quite a nice way for me to manage the pressures of the game. And then we lead on to, you know, the biking stuff. I have one bike, and I've sort of been a bike and sell sort of guy, and started off with a 125 motorbike and slowly but surely built myself up. My first proper bike was an old Harley Davidson, because I thought I'd be cool. And it was amazing. Loads of character, the thing spluttered around the place, but
yeah,
you talk about speed, and you could probably jog past it whilst I'm going down the motorway, Rick. You know, it was no speed monster. So yeah, my most recent bike now has been something I've worked on for the last couple of winters, and it's what I'd describe as a beautiful BMW.
Fantastic.
My pride and joy. And with that, you know, I've worked with sort of three guys who work on bikes, one in Columpton, one in Brighton Way, and I spent a couple of days this winter down in Brighton in these blokes' garage called Pier City Cycles, where they took my bike apart, worked on it, and I was there to sort of capture it a little bit for the social channels, but at the same time just learn a little bit about it. So
yeah, that's fantastic. Particularly because if you didn't, by the sound of things, with all due respect, you didn't know all that much about motorbikes 4 years ago, right? And but now you are Mr. Mechanic as well as Mr. Entrepreneur. Yes.
Oh, I definitely wouldn't put myself in that bracket, but I'm fascinated by it. I'm interested by it. I understand it when people talk about engines, but there's a whole new level of understanding. And just as much as if, you know, you would talk to me, Rick, about, you know, spin bowling and what I've learned from my time and this tactic and that tactic and field placing, we can sort of go into depth because we'll have a long history of understanding of the sport. I talk to these guys about bikes and you know, that's them, that's their lives.
Yeah, I get that. It's fabulous. Absolutely magic.
I'm literally just hovering on the surface of understanding some of it, but I definitely don't have the years of experience, the understanding, the mechanical understanding, whatever it is that goes along with biking. I'd like to think in 20 years' time, you know, that I might be able to work on some bikes myself, and that might be a nice sort of hobby looking forward. But yeah, at the moment, I enjoy it. I understand it, but I wouldn't put myself into the expertise.
What's lovely, you really can tell that you love it, and that's magic. That answers all my questions, apart from the direct two questions I'm thinking of. Do you still go out on a Sunday? Because my mate Paul used to go out on the A40. They used to call it either a jolly, or it was a Sunday ride. Yeah, I tell you what he used to say. The phrase was, "I'm going out for a play on Sunday, mate." And if by a play he did mean, in fact, go blasting up the A40. And there are various places that other people in Wales will know, in particular, and literally do 150, 160 miles an hour. You know, fact. I'm aware that he did do that. Because nobody's listening, you could say to me, Rick, yeah, I've done that. Or, come on, tell you, how quick do you, or would you go?
So we're biking, and I'm not going to bore you.
You're not? Go on.
People get a sort of different thrills, different adrenaline, different, you know, what they get from riding. And my sort of group of mates, I think, when I say we're a bunch of like-minded riders, that's also sort of like-minded in our style. And you know, that the calf racing culture, like my best mate has a 1989 Moto Guzzi, which his dad rebuilt. It's an amazing bike, but it's probably not something you're going to feel confident, as you said, going 140, 150, because...
Sure, okay.
So we're very much a social group. We enjoy riding, not to say we're going to enjoy some twisties around the Brecon Beacons, but we're definitely not a sport bike. Let's go out there to scare ourselves and go really quick. It's meant to be a relaxing ride. It's meant to be an enjoyable ride.
Okay.
It's going to be the odd bit. We have a bit of fun, and you enjoy the bike's handling and what it is, the visceral feeling with it all. But that's not to say that you know, we're definitely not the adrenaline junkie seeker. So okay. With the bike, you can see that it's, you know, when I'm not wearing head to toe for leathers, I've got riding jeans. I've got my, you know, my leather jacket, which is protected. So
okay.
Do you know what I mean?
It's great.
And so we're a bit more chilled. We're a bit more, actually, let's just...
You're casual but stylish cruisers. Can I get away with that? Is that about right? Or is that... Maybe that sounds patronising. I hope not.
We'll go for that, but I don't think I'll get away with calling myself that, Rick. So
okay, fair enough.
I'll let you describe that one.
Fair enough. So, yeah, finally on this, and thank you, it's been great, all that stuff. I enjoy all that. In all seriousness, ambition stroke... post-cricket career stuff, this seems like a natural way forward, yes? I mean, how much of that is planned? Or it sounds like you're, you know, without being too over-serious about it, it's a real love that you can turn into something career-wise, or, yeah? Would that be right?
It's really interesting. So this winter with the PCA, they have a thing called... what's it called now? At the top of my head, they've got a scheme. The Futures Award. There it is, Rick.
Okay, yeah. We get there in the end. Yeah, fine.
It's called the Futures Award, and every player is allowed to apply, and it's pretty much their way to reward players who have one head, you know, one eye looking towards the future. They're preparing themselves to transition after the game, and because I think they just want players to think about it. I think they. You know, there's lots of benefits associated with it. It reduces some pressures of the game. It's a distraction. All those things we sort of discussed about. So I sort of logged in and, you know, I wanted to apply for this Futures Award. With what I've been doing with Baffa Culture, there's quite a big story from where it's grown. And when I started off, I definitely didn't open an Instagram page thinking, actually, where it is today in terms of a place, a website, whatever it is. You know, I didn't think that 4 years ago. It's just something cool. That has grown from a hobby and interest, which is quite nice. But yeah, as you said, it's during this Futures Award, which, can I plug in that I won? Am I allowed to do that?
Of course you are. Yeah, I'll be honest. Yeah, as you were talking, I'm thinking, I remember that. Of course you did. Well done, mate. It's brilliant. It's and our listeners, I am pretty certain we'll get why you won it. It's brilliant. Carry on. Sorry.
Yeah, no worries. It was a real good. Exercise just to sort of reflect a little bit on, because whilst I was up there presenting, I'm talking about the journey it's been, and it's not very often we look back over a 4 year period and look at, you know, what might have been achieved or you know, the progress is made. So that was quite a nice way just to stand up and, you know, quite proud to say, oh, look, this is what's been going on. And then one of their final questions was like, okay, so what's your goal for 5 years time? And I could just sort of, you know, sense that might have been tailored towards what I was talking about would be a Baffa Culture. But, you know, my goal in 5 years' time would be to play for England.
Yeah. And, yeah.
You know, I've got you know, ambition, massive ambition within my cricket. And it was just funny how, like, you know, although, you know, you've got a hobby and a side interest, there's nothing that sort of deflects away from the fact that, you know, in terms of cricket, that it's just something I've done throughout my whole life. It's what I've always wanted to do, to achieve. And, you know, as great as distraction is, my ambition, and like you said, when you talk about the transition after game, is to play, you know, for as long as
yeah.
I can.
Now, great to hear. And yeah, I get that totally. And it's going to bring me back, because do you know what? I'm going to stop in a few minutes, because we've warbled on for towards half an hour, I think, or whatever. Brilliantly, I would say. But back to the game, kind of round us off here a bit, because that, genuinely, you have got a very good, strong all-round game, no question. But does, in a weird kind of way, does the lockdown give you headspace, time, to think about how you might develop your game, and whether or not you may practice specific skills, or get, you know, discover a new wonder ball, or you know, I'm sure you have, or whatever, or thought about these kind of things, or work on just spinning it more, or improving your slog sweep. You know, do you think like that? Are you able to think like that at the moment?
Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it? Like the whole scenario has just put a little bit of a pause to life.
Yeah.
It's literally just gone, okay, just pause for a second and think about things, think about everything, you know. And you said cricket is obviously a big part of that for me. I wouldn't say I've thought of anything, you know, massively different to where my headspace has been and is at the moment. It's just, you know, I'm probably thinking more practically in terms of the sense that, you know, the county championship, you know, would be affected in terms of the games and, you know, the opportunity there.
Yeah.
You know,
there was an announcement today, wasn't there? Basically, it's been officially confirmed it's back until July the 1st, I believe, at the earliest. But
that's it. Yeah. So I think I'd put my headspace in that. Okay, so, you know, you're probably looking into more one-day T20 cricket, one-day cricket.
Yeah.
And from sort of my input and my sort of performances last year in the T20, I suppose at the moment I'm thinking, okay, that's great, and that might sort of tailor some of my thinking to think, right, this year, this is how this season's looking, which, you know, again, is a sort of, you weren't thinking this 3 weeks ago because I was head on, you know, starting the season as a four-day spin bowler.
Yeah, sure, cool.
But I suppose the slight change in thought process moving forward would be okay. Like, you know, it'd be interesting to see what happens with the county championship, and, you know, obviously it's been impacted already. So yeah, I suppose my headspace is okay.
Stay agile, kind of. Yes, like all of us, in a way.
And, you know, I can't forget all the hard work, you know, we've done during the winter, and coming out the back end of the winter training, there were various power hitting, you know, or like, you know, sort of performances or training I was doing, and different deliveries for the T20.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's things from that end of season, the end of pre-season sort of training I was doing that will lead nicely into the back end of the season. Fingers crossed if it comes.
Yeah, sure.
So okay. I think the important period for myself is just to remind myself, okay, that's what I was working on. I've got footage of myself in training doing it. That's how it felt. These were some of my trigger points, be it where my hands might go, be it how I hold the ball for various variations. So I think it's just making sure that, you know, I remind myself where I was at towards, you know, this end of this pre-season period, and just those key learnings from it. Because the longer this time goes on, I suppose, the bigger that gap is between that last training session.
Yeah, sure.
So it's just going to, for myself, just to go, okay, I'm might just look back over some footage, remind myself what I was doing well or what worked in pre-season. So fingers crossed that transition, when the season will come, because it will, when that transition happens, it'll be a smoother one, and one I can, fingers crossed, hit the ground running.
Okay. Well, listen, look, on that bombshell, firstly, thank you. Really good to talk. And great to hear that you look and sound in good nick in all kinds of ways. Wish you all the very best with Baffle Culture. And I will get more genned up. I might even come and visit you on the A40, though probably not on a motorbike. I don't know. And obviously, all the best for the the glam scene and, you know, ambitions beyond or whatever. But again, Andrew Salter, top man, thank you very much, and we'll speak soon, I hope. Cheers.
Cheers, Rick.